This hour of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
As we gather together this Thanksgiving to ask the Lord's blessings, let us thank Him for our peace, prosperity, and freedom.
Fighting for Idaho.
Kevin, I just want to tell you how much I enjoyed you in the turkey suit.
Oh.
That was the best. And of course, I blasted it all over social media because it was just about the cutest thing ever.
Fighting for you.
My thoughts and certainly my admiration go to all of you and what you've done for us. You make a difference each and every day.
Boise's Mr. Right.
Happy Thanksgiving. God bless you.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Hey, I hope you're having a happy and safe pre-Thanksgiving. It's our Matters of Faith program at 580 KIDO. Something that we're very proud to be a part of, where even though I guess you could say we're a secular show, we don't have an issue with talking about God and His role in America and what He has done for us. And what a better way to talk about it, or better day to talk about it than the day before Thanksgiving. Joining us now is Dr. Steve Crane from Eagle Christian Church. Pastor Crane, thank you for joining us.
Hey, it's great to be here.
You know, usually we've had your dad in here or on the phone, and he's always giving us the blessings and, of course, the wisdom. So thank you for giving us another version, if you will.
Oh, it's good to be here.
Let's talk a little bit about the time of year, Thanksgiving, the holidays. Do you find that we're more in tune with the Lord than in any other time?
Well, it does seem like during the holiday seasons that the American public seems to open up their hearts a little bit more. We talk more about God and those type of things. Thanksgiving season, Christmas season, and just a lot more open to talk about those things, and we hear it on the radio, we see it on TV specials, and so it is a great time of year.
Now, what about God's role in America? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I do believe that our country is founded on a Judeo-Christian worldview, and I do believe that we've let some of that slide, that America, in one sense, is in decline because we've removed God from the public square. And it's no surprise. I don't think that we talk about a lot of issues that happen. And one of the greatest issues is actually a crisis of belief, that we're no longer believing in the words of God, the words of Jesus. And when we see that happen, it's no wonder that we have all kinds of problems in America today, everything from teen violence, drug addiction, to the family in trouble. And I do believe that when we remove God from the public square, we see a decline in society. And I think that has happened.
As a minister, as a pastor, how do you combat the over secularism of America today? Even people that go to church, whether it's Eagle Christian Church or any other place of worship, we're just inundated with smut.
That's true.
Yeah, so everybody, you know, comes, the flock comes once a week. That's a lot of inoculating you have to do to last a week.
It is. We try to get people plugged in, not just on the weekend. We've got small groups, and we've got activities that happen throughout the week as well. But to get the message out there that there is such a thing as right and wrong, and that especially in this Thanksgiving season, we've got so much to be thankful for. And part of that, I like to ask the question, during Thanksgiving, as we think about the things we're thankful for, who are you going to say thank you to? And I hope that God certainly is part of that.
Let's go back to the Pilgrims, of course, the lost colony of Roanoke that didn't happen with Sir Walter Raleigh. You go back to Jamestown and Plymouth Rock and these folks that we always see these iconic photos of the first Thanksgiving. What comes to mind for you, and what comes to the mind of God's providence looking out for these folks?
In terms of what was happening, in terms of people just relying on a God, a creator God, a sustainer God, a God that provided for them, and really the fact that they stopped and were thankful, and something that I hope that we're doing this Thanksgiving season as well.
How can we do that?
I would encourage everyone maybe to stop, and the first question I might ask is, what am I thankful for? And as I think about things that I'm thankful for, it starts with I'm thankful for the gift of life. I'm thankful for health, for happiness, for contentment. I'm thankful for prosperity. I'm thankful that we live in a country with an optimistic spirit. I'm thankful for the zest of living, the joy of life. I'm thankful for a nation where we have freedom, freedom to worship God. I'm thankful we live in a state where we've got great opportunity. I'm thankful that we've got churches that we are able to freely assemble in. And so just to stop and remember those type of things, and I can continue, a land that knows peace within its borders, a nation whose battle cry is freedom, a place where citizens are equal regardless of race or gender or education, a place where we've got freedom of expression and freedom of thought, even the fact that we can be on a radio station here and talk about these things, I'm thankful for those type of things.
What about overcoming challenges like the Pilgrims did? You see this all the time. You know, we're constantly, and we're so blessed to live in the Treasure Valley where, you know, people care about one another and they show it as opposed to just saying it. But people right now, sir, that may be away from their families, may be down on their luck, and are hurting.
Yeah. It is a time where I hope as a community we reach out as churches. Another thing I'm thankful for, we live in a community where churches are active and involved and there's a sense of unity. And I hope that as a community, we're reaching out to help those people who are in need, that we are able to lend a helping hand and really reach out to people the love of God, the love of Christ showed us.
Indeed. And we go back to the very essence of America. We go back to George Washington praying, either before or after Valley Forge, another iconic photo. What comes to mind is the most concrete example for you of God looking out for this country?
It's a great question. I'm not sure I've framed it that way.
See, for me, it's the photos, or not photos, the pictures of our great leaders in prayer. So it's not like we're a secular nation, but we're a God-fearing nation.
Not with the first Pilgrims, but one of the things that comes to mind is a prayer of Robert E. Lee. And he was talking about the fact that one of our mightiest weapons and the supreme call for Christians today is that we pray. That we pray at sunup and noonday and sundown, midnight, all through the day. We pray for our children. We pray for our neighbors. We pray for our youth. We pray for those people that are struggling. We pray for our pastors and our homes. We pray for our churches and the Great Spirit. Just I know that that's not Thanksgiving oriented, but one of the great leaders of our nation, talking about the nation standing up together and coming together and praying for each other and helping each other and praying for our national leaders and really taking a stand together. And I guess that's one of my most memorable thoughts as I think back of history and leaders, great leaders of our nation.
What do you say to people traveling right now? Because, you know, a lot of people, whether they're in the planes, they're coming home or picking people up, for me personally, my observations and my own personal behavior, we're all about God when we need him.
That's right.
But when it's PlayStation time or turkey time or football time, giving God the attention that he deserves, what do you say to right our religious Christian focus?
Yeah, you make that statement. We go to God when we need him. There's a statement that says there's no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole.
Yes.
And certainly we usually go to God as a last resort when really he should be our first resort. And so as we go through the holidays, as we go through good times, as we go through bad times, turn our thoughts and our attention to him would be a good thing. We talked already briefly about the fact that we need to stop and remember what we're thankful for. And I would direct that again to say, who are you going to say thank you to this Thanksgiving season? Where do we get our blessings and the providence, the hand of God we see clearly? We should stop and thank him for that.
Every day it is a blessing in America. Recently, of course, we've had the tragedy of the two pilots that have died, the remembrance, the funerals at Eagle Christian Church.
Yes.
What goes on in the mind of those families and those friends who've lost these loved ones and who died protecting our country? Again, we remember them on Veterans Day, Memorial Day, but these are folks that are going to go on without them.
Yeah, great services. The men were honored, and what a privilege to be able to host those out at our church. And I would just add to my prayers those people that really have fought for our freedoms, men and women of character who consistently put their lives in harm's way, those people that are really giving us the freedoms that we do have in our country. And I would pray for men like that who protect the downtrodden, protect the borders, protect our rights and our freedoms, protect our Constitution, protect our free market and our way of life. And so thank God for people who will, on our behalf, take an oath of allegiance, fight for our country, and even give their lives for our freedom.
It is a calling.
It is.
It is a calling. What do you say to folks, though, that are missing their loved ones for the first time during the holidays? Because, again, it's a very emotional time.
A very tough time.
Yes, sir.
And I would say don't be afraid to go through the ups and downs in life, and don't be afraid to turn to each other in this time. Also, don't be afraid to turn to God, who grants us peace and comfort and help. And so just allow the peace of Jesus Christ to rule in our hearts and guide us and help us.
You know, we've talked a little bit about the country, but what are some of your stories that you've gotten from the Scripture that really show Christ's love for us and his compassion for his fellow men, whether it was walking on the water, Peter, some of the other ones, maybe something that a lot of us aren't familiar with that really strikes a chord this time of year?
What particular story? In terms of course, the greatest story of all, God loving us so much, he sent his son, and Jesus loving us so much that he came to die for us willingly. And the fact that even while we're sinners, even though we don't deserve it, even though we've done nothing to earn it, that Christ loved us and gave his life for us, of course, is the root of all those Bible stories. But I see Jesus reaching out to the people in society that were outcasts, that Jesus going out to the lepers, that Jesus going to places where good religious leaders of the day wouldn't go, and offering not just friendship, but offering life and life abundantly, even to the people on the margins. And just story after story through the Gospels that we hear of Jesus doing those type of things.
What about the children?
Suffer the children to come unto me. And Jesus reaching out to them. And again, in the first century, children and slaves and other people had very little rights, but Jesus reached out to them as well.
More coming up here at 580 KIDO. It is the Matters of Faith program. Remember, if you miss any of these shows or you're hanging out, driving, you can always download our podcast at 580KIDO.com and listen to them as you're driving around or at the airport. We're with you every step of the way. Of course, blogs as well. All right, as we get ready for the big Thanksgiving, this is the day before, and whether you're at the stores or getting ready for the deals, traffic is always on our minds. Let's get you to work or to shopping or home safely and on time at 580KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller with you, wishing you a happy, safe, and prosperous Thanksgiving. The day before, of course, our tradition here, Matters of Faith, where we talk to members of the faith-based community here in the Treasure Valley, talking about God and Thanksgiving and freedom in America. Dr. Steve Crane with us from Eagle Christian Church. Pastor Crane, as we move along here, what are some of the challenges that people face in their life, real-life situations? You know, Dr. Lori used to talk about real-life solutions when people talk about, you know, keeping their family together. It's the goal. Sometimes that doesn't happen, whether it's work, whether it's the search for materialism. There are powerful forces that attack the Christians, attack the Christian families. What are some of the solutions to these challenges that you found?
Well, certainly the traditional family is under attack today, and the pressures all around us, from job pressures and school pressures and too much month and not enough money, health issues, all kinds of things that bombard all of us. And it is a shame to see that family structure is struggling today. And one of the things we like to do is really realize that families are meant to stay together and be together and strive together and work to get together. Building up family relationships. And so one of the things we like to do is like to offer classes for families. We like to offer programs that get the families united, and everywhere from small groups to activities, programming at the church to try to help really enable people to go through these struggles. And so it is a tough time, isn't it, in terms of what we see families going through today?
Well, I guess getting people on the right path, it's easy on one hand, but we see people just embracing materialism. And again, here at 580KIDO, I see it. You know, the down economy has taught us a few lessons when we went from the three-car garage to just having a house. But there's always that thing about, well, God can wait. The family can wait. Let's go have fun. And when you're talking to your flock and you're doing the small groups, what are some of the things that people listening right now can do to make themselves a better spouse or a better dad or a better mom?
One of the classes we love to offer is love and respect, and how to love our wives and respect our husbands and really put things in priority, what's really important. And it's true that you know, things have been tough, and there are financial struggles and hardships. A lot of times those moments actually help us realize there's more to this life than just living and dying. And that bumper sticker, whoever dies with the most toys wins, just seems a little bit ridiculous in tough times. And so really to take our eyes off of ourselves, realize that we need to live in community, that we need to love each other, and most importantly, we need to love God. And so, again, during our Thanksgiving season, we've already talked about thinking about things we're thankful for, who we're going to thank, but maybe even we just need to stop and contemplate ways to show our thankfulness. And with our families, maybe we need to stop and say thank you to our wife, or wives, thank you to your husbands for who they are and what they do. And maybe we need to appreciate our children for who they are. And maybe a great thing to do this Thanksgiving season is just to maybe send a note to someone who has helped you or blessed you, or a family member that's touched your life or led you in a great way. And so encourage our people to not only acknowledge the blessings of God, but acknowledge other people in their life who have blessed them, and maybe say thank you during this season.
What do you do when things don't go your way to avoid bitterness and anger, jealousy?
It's a great question.
See, I'm very good at questions. Answers, not so much.
Yeah, a great question in terms of, again, we usually have the attitude that life revolves around me.
Right.
And if we can change that and realize that life isn't about me. In fact, life is about others, about serving others. But more than that, it's actually about serving God. And sometimes the very things that we think are hardship and trial and tribulation and turmoil in our life, they may be the very things God is using to shape us and to mold us and to conform us to the character of His Son. In fact, a lot of times it's the hardship in life that burns away the dross. Have you ever known a person that was a person of maturity and character who was just born that way? Or most likely it's through their trials and hardship and adversity that they're formed and molded into the person they were. And so trials are difficult. Trials are hard. But if we allow God to use those trials, they can actually mold us and shape us into maybe the kind of person He intended us to be in the first place.
Tell us a little bit about Eagle Christian Church, if people are listening right now.
Great story that Eagle Christian Church actually started in a home with seven people, and just thought there needed to be a Bible-believing church in Eagle, Idaho. And from there, it's grown. And so we started in 1995, and it's grown beyond seven people. On a weekend, we average about 2,700 people.
Wow.
We've had the privilege of starting, I think, nine other churches, or helped plant nine other churches, and just most recently actually have started a second campus in East Boise, Surprise Valley. And so we've got seven services on a weekend. We have services on Saturday night. We've got services on Sunday morning. We've got services Sunday afternoon, services Sunday evening as well. And it's just been amazing to see how God has blessed the efforts of Eagle Christian Church.
What do you say to people that don't have God in their life that are thinking, oh, there he goes again, Kevin Miller, dot, 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 dot? What do you say to people that that don't have God in their lives?
I usually turn that question around, and I say, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. And as I look around in the world in which we live, I look around and I see design. And when I see design, I see designer. As I look around, I think that I don't have enough faith to think that everything that happened is just chance and happenstance, that things happen by accident. And so when I look around, I see the hand of a creator, and I see providence of a God who loves us and cares for us. And so I guess the main thing I would say to somebody that does not have God in their life is they're missing out on the very thing that gives life meaning and purpose, that we're designed for more than this, and that a relationship with God, he's the one that formed you, he's the one that designed you, he's the one that created you, he knows what's best for you, and really wants you to live life and life abundantly. Now, when I say that, I'm not promising a health and wealth gospel, but I am talking about someone who can give meaning to your trials and who can give direction for your struggles and can provide purpose in a life that sometimes seems meaningless. And so I challenge those people maybe that say they don't believe in God to give God a chance. I think that it may be the one thing that they need. Well, it is the one thing they need more than anything else, and it may be the very thing that gives them purpose and meaning in life.
And finally, could you give us a prayer for Thanksgiving?
I would love to pray. And so I'll just pray with me, if you will. Father, right now we want to come before you, and we are so thankful. We are thankful for the gift of life. We're thankful for health and contentment and prosperity, for an optimistic spirit that we know we have a better tomorrow. Father, we thank you for the joy of living and the anticipation of each new day. We thank you for all the many blessings you've given to us. We thank you for the nation to which we belong, the state in which we reside, the communities in which we live and work, the churches in which we assemble. And Father, we just thank you for those blessings. We thank you for those who protect our shores and our borders and our way of life. We thank you for those who put themselves in harm's way. Father, I thank you for the right we have to worship together, to assemble in peace. And Father, I thank you for those who sacrifice to lead us in democracy, for those who lead in the fight and battle over ideas and ideology. And Father, I thank you for leaders of our great nation who will take a stand for truth and protect our basic liberties. Father, I thank you that we're part of one nation under God. And unlike some who would say otherwise, I'd say God bless America. We want to thank you and thank you for this time of Thanksgiving. And we pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Dr. Crane, thank you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Our Matters of Faith program continues. Chris Kelly joining us from John and Chris. Chris, good to have you with us.
Hey, thanks, Kevin. Thanks for having me on.
You know, we talk about God and faith, and here we are the day before Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to you? Because people that have listened to you for years, that hang out with you, that follow you, they know that you are a person of faith and that God is relevant in your life.
Well, God to me is love. You know, it really comes down to that when it says it in the Bible. So it's living that life of love and compassion, treating people the way you want to be treated, and going against usually what the first thought in my head is. It's like, because I'm always like, you know, even driving. You know, I want to be that person who's the good person, not the fist shaking, talking to the other driver, who unfortunately I have been known to be. I always say if I had a fish on the back of my car, I would set Christianity back by like 2,000 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I'm just, yeah.
Who booked you on this segment? We're supposed to talk about God and everything good. And you're smacking people with the cars, but on a serious nature, what do you think of when you're talking about, or, you know, for Thanksgiving and God's relationship with America? What does that mean to you?
When I think about Thanksgiving and God's relationship with America, it's God's relationship with everywhere. You know, everybody's the same. He loves us all the same. He treats us all the same, no matter what country we're from. So that to me, and just having that ability to talk to God and have a relationship with God. God is not dead. It's not this thing where you go to church and somebody else talks to God for you. To me, it's that day-to-day talking to God in relationship, and that life should be full of these supernatural events and strange, weird, cool stuff that happens that people call coincidence that really are the hand of God in your life, and that's what I'm thankful for.
Boy, we take a look at people traveling, throughout the holidays. What do you say to them that, you know, to make sure that they're safe? Because when you're in your car, sometimes it can be very lonely. And if you are traveling right now, know that you have some friends with you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, I've always, since I was a little child, believed God's right by my side. And when I travel, and I travel a lot, I always know that God's going to take care of me. And it's not what my perception of taking care of me is. It's what God's perception of that is. And so I'm okay with that. But when I'm traveling, I just try to do my best as far as driving, make sure I've done my part, and then let God handle the rest. But if you go from a base of fear, in my mind, fear's always the enemy. And if you're going from fear, you're on the wrong track. So that's the first check I do in my own head, is am I acting out of fear or am I acting out of love?
What about faith? Mm-hmm. It's easy when we're in trouble. Not so easy when we've got other things going on. You know, well, I'll pray later. I'll do this later. God puts us first, but sometimes we fail.
Oh, very true. I mean, every day, in every way, I fail. I always say, if it weren't for grace, I would have spontaneously combusted a long time ago. It would have been over way long time ago. The thing is, God always loves everybody, no matter where they are in life, no matter what they do or the mistakes they're making, even currently. That doesn't change the love. You can be the best, most buttoned-up Christian on the planet, but God doesn't love that person any more than he loves somebody who's doing something illegally or their whole life is messed up. They may not be a good person. Doesn't matter. God still loves them. At the same level, he'd love them if they were so-called born again and did everything right. Same amount of love. And I love that about God.
You know, recently we've had some losses in our community with the military and everything else. And we always try to explain what happens, you know, when good things happen or bad things happen to good people. And I know you've been asked about that, whether it's on the radio or speaking or people coming up to you. So what do you make of that?
I believe in the verse that says, this life is but the blink of an eye. And that when we move on to the next stage, if all the troubles and worries and woes and sorrows of this life totally melt away, and I'm sure you're like I am, Kevin, where you have moments of your life where you can relive that in a second.
Right.
And it doesn't matter if it was when you were 5 or 10 or 21 or whatever. I'm not going to say how old I am. But just, you know, you can relive that moment in an instant, and you feel those same emotions. So it has to be something so much more powerful at the next level that none of that matters. So that's the way I look at it. Yeah, this is all a testing ground or a growing ground for, I hate the word testing, you know, like God tests. I think of it as training.
Right.
We're being trained in this life to be spiritual beings. And that, to me, is a real gift and a privilege.
Right. What has God done in your life to make you a believer?
He's just always been there. I mean, it's really odd. I'm one of those people who I always felt the physical, emotional, tangible presence of God in my life. It was never a doubt. To me, denying God would be like denying breathing.
Right.
So he's always been there in my life for me. So he's my best friend, my constant companion. The worst times in my life are when I'm not talking to God enough and I'm focusing on the world instead of focusing on what he wants.
Sure.
Which often has nothing to do with what society or the people around you are telling you is the right thing to do.
Right. There's so much evilness in the world today. We've got ISIS. You know, our country has fought, folks. But, you know, even as we speak, instead of going home, you have people that are on carriers, in subs, at the DMZ, in the Middle East, in Baghdad, in Afghanistan, that are keeping the wolf away at the door. How do we, you know, combat the evilness of our society today? Granted, hopefully we'll never have to worry about ISIS coming over here in Idaho, but, I mean, you see these videos and you think to yourself, that's got to be the devil himself.
Mm-hmm. Well, in my mind, you have to do daily what's put in front of you. So if you're doing daily the way God's directing you to go, or talking to the people you need to talk to, people you may not even know or have, you don't even want to talk to because you're scared or you're nervous, but you do it anyway because God goes, hey, you know, you really need to go over and just say hi to that person or do whatever. If you're doing that day-to-day thing and not focusing on things you can't control, then you're doing, in my mind, what you're supposed to do or what our job on this planet is.
Right. That's the ability, though, to understand that you can't control everything.
No, you can't.
That God's driving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't control anything, which I hate. I'm like, what do you mean I can't control anything?
Right.
Yeah, when John and I were working together, I always have to have things lined up just so.
Right.
It's kind of, you know, my compulsive nature. Mm-hmm. And so he'd come in and just mess stuff up on my desk in front of me.
Showing a sign of affection there.
It is. Mm-hmm. But I'd get instantly mad, and then I'd go, oh, you know what? That's a good lesson for me. That's a really good lesson.
How many years did it take you to figure that out, that it's a really good lesson?
It took me years, and I still really didn't quite believe it. You know what I mean? I was still like, why do you do that?
Right.
My husband has a great line, which I think is great. Steve says that the people who have been the most challenging in his life, the meanest, or, you know, have really been out to get him or whatever, are his greatest gurus, because that teaches you how to be compassionate and loving even when you just want to punch somebody in the face. Did I say that out loud?
It's okay.
That's my line, not Steve's.
That's
just
okay.
So you know.
Your thoughts on John. The last time that we had you on, it was right after his death. His family mm-hmm. was in. I know mm-hmm. it's very emotional still. So with respect, what do you think?
I think that John was an incredible presence on this planet, and I'm glad that I knew him and had so many years working together. But I know that he really believed in God. You know, the closer that he reached this transition point of death to the next level, the closer he got to God. We would pray together every day. He was lonely. He wanted a partner. We prayed for the perfect woman coming into his life. She did. Kathy could not have been a better helpmate wife than she was. And he really, really loved her, just with his whole heart. And you know she made him happy. And he always said she was a gift from God. It did get to the point where John would say, I just want to touch the hem of Jesus's robe. That's all I want. And that was truly his desire. So I don't sit there and go, oh, why did this have to happen? Except beyond the greedy, selfish thing like, but you left me back here all by myself. This is not good. But beyond that, from time to time, or at the beginning, I'm really truly believe that John's with God now.
More coming up on our Matters of Faith program with Chris Kelly here, Kevin Miller in the morning. Don't forget, as always, if you miss any of these broadcasts, you can always go to our website. You guessed it, 580kido.com. The podcast will be there. And if you're driving around, why not take us with you? Time for traffic at 5.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller with you here. Chris Kelly with us talking about God and faith and family and freedom. Chris, let's talk a little bit about people dealing with losses, whether it's a job, whether it's a loved one. We were talking more about John Dwayne here moments ago. What about losses? Because the holidays are a tough time. You know, we bask in the glow of the lights and the turkey and the children, but for some of us, we've lost folks, and dealing with that being by yourself.
Mm-hmm. So tough. And so that's when you have to get out of yourself and go find other people. I mean, I know from experience that when you alienate yourself, not alienate, but you isolate yourself, and you just go, I can't get out of the house. That's when you have to get out of the house. You have to talk to people, even if getting out of the house is just virtual, a phone call. Connecting with other people, that's what we're here on the planet to do, is connect with other people and, you know, show that, as I said before, compassion of God. And it's so hard. It's so hard when you're just like, man, I can't even brush my teeth. I can't brush my hair. I'm so depressed. I just have to sit here and not even think. I'm too numb.
Right.
And that's when you just have to force yourself to just do one little thing. If it's brushing your teeth, great.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, your hair or whatever.
Right. Just starting something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And try to let go of the bitterness of the past.
Yeah. How do you do that, though, when you're talking, you know, because everybody, and again, you live and continue to live in a world where you see a lot of people. and someone together might have something, you know, all together, and then you find out, well, they haven't talked to such and such in years, and they're still holding that grudge, and as we know, that's not good for us.
Well, I think a lot of times it's getting out of your own head. You know, stop focusing on you or what's going on or poor me or whatever the situation was. And, you know, go. Is it Green Eyes in Africa? They came by our house last night and they left a note. We'll take any of your shoes. We don't care what condition they are. We're coming by tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Put them in this bag. And so I looked it up on the internet. It's a real deal. And I thought, you know, here it is right before the holidays. And they're out there collecting shoes to help people in Africa. That, to me, is getting out of yourself and getting involved, doing things. The other thing is, like, and I've had relationships in my family or with friends where I go, man, I can never forgive that person.
Right.
They have just burned me for the last time. That's not going to happen again. I am smarter than this situation. So then I have to pray, okay, God, you've got to help me get over this anger. You've got to help me get over this judgment. Because I know I've done just as, you know, horrible a thing some part in my life that, you know, you look at them all the same. So if I'm going to be like you, I've got to let go of that. And that, to me, is...